Hello, the internet, and welcome to another episode of Don't Zite the Hand That Feeds You. That's a pretty good one from Johnny Davis. I'm just kidding. I've said that for the past two. I didn't realize it. I don't remember any of this shit.
SpaghettiOs.
Let's go with Hold On to the Zite, courtesy of Miles Gray, just before we started recording.
That was another song that, or Hold On to the Nights by Richard Marx, I think is the song I'm thinking. Song I only knew from like contemporary adult album infomercials, that just that, I only know that isolated melody from that
song. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny because the next line is, hold on to the melody. So.
Wow.
You held on to the melody, Miles.
And the memories.
Yes. Richard Marx was like very popular for like 3 years, and then I don't know, he completely overlapped with the period during which VH1 was a thing I associated with my parents, and that ended, and his career went away.
Yeah, VH1 was for stale adults, like in the late 80s early 90s. You're like, dude, I ain't watching no VH1 fool.
It was like an adult contemporary radio station with videos. and Rosie O'Donnell stand-up comedy. Do you remember that?
Rosie O'Donnell had a
stand-up show on VH1. Yeah, it was like stand-up spotlight, I think. And she stood in front of like a...
Was Laura Keitlinger on it?
I bet she was.
She must have been back then. Paula Poundstone?
Oh, yeah. Big Poundstone energy. That's what I want to come in with. All right, let's tell the people what is trending. 4-20. What's that? Is that a police code or something?
Yep. It's the date, bro. It's April 20th.
Oh, right.
Everybody's smoking. I don't know. It's like one of those things. Yes, it's 420. It's for you know, for all the weed people. I haven't like been like that into it for the last few while, maybe since college, when I was like,
no, dude, it's 420. Like, we're getting all this food and all this soda and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Now I feel like, you know, like a lot of people has kind of been like 420 every day in the quarantine of like being like, you know what, dude, I can smoke as if what's time. Right. And so this 420 feels a little bit different, but I realize the spirit has reactivated within me, because now I'm like trying to like get together with people, do stuff. If you're listening to this around 6 p.m., you can go to twitch.tv/420dayfiance. I'll be on there with Sophia Alexandra. But I'm, shout out to everyone.
So you guys are doing live Twitch streams on for 420dayfiance? Is it like you're recording?
Yeah. Well, there's a new episode of the 90 Day Fiance. There's like a quarantine special where they got a lot of an update show where they got a lot of people to do like remote interviews or self tape. So it's going to be catching up with people in the quar, but what better day to have that on 420 and plus the show. And like, it's like my cousin works in programming at TLC.
That's amazing that they had it today. Look at that.
So serendipitous. Huh. Those are little glimmers of hope I look for.
I do wonder, because I mean, people who, you know, work in entertainment, they're constantly Googling their show. I do wonder if they saw your show and were like, I guess we got a big pothead following. Maybe we should air it on 420.
I mean, yeah, that's probably what happened, I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably. I would guess so.
Thank you.
You should ask them for money. Oil prices, an equally fun one. What's going on with those wacky oil prices?
Well, they are, so right now the cost of one barrel of oil is below zero.
This is like when
that's like a concept.
The first person did a flip. Yeah. Like when somebody, like I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know the triple axel was possible until they did that. I didn't know oil prices could close at negative. So they will give you money. They will give you $3.70 to take a barrel of oil.
It's more just like this. I wish it was. It's like, hey, come here. You want this? Here, I'll give you $3.70. Take this whole. You know how to refine this crude? So all this crude oil basically is getting pumped. They have nowhere to store it, and consumption is low, and there's just all kinds of things. But the lockdown especially has had a huge effect on demand for, like, you know, petroleum and shit like that. So now, you know, everyone's saying right now no one really wants to trade it because it's sort of, you're at a point where there's no, you know, storage is running low. Some people think like we could run out of storage within 3 weeks if it's, you know, we keep pumping it. So yeah, interesting times. This is the first time since the NYMEX oil futures have been trading since 1983 that something like this has happened. So they say it's easily the oil market's worst day on record.
Yeah, it sounds bad. So, I mean, overall, the economy, though, doing all right. We're good. Still good.
I don't know which version, right? If you deal in the economy right, where it's cool stuff that TV shows that Miles likes are airing on 420. Oh, dude, the economy is booming right now. Yeah. You look at something like a stock market or I just ignore that.
Yeah. There's a new podcast from some company, Knight, NYT, that is called The Rabbit Hole. And a lot of it feels like it's a spoof of podcast production because they just like do all the tricks, like all the very straightforward, like, okay, now it sounds like we're changing channels between like different things. And now it sounds like there's like, I don't know. They went to the Radio Lab School of podcast production, but they are talking about a very specific thing about like how YouTube algorithms created like two separate realities and just how that's happening basically everywhere in the world would be my guess is where it's going. But it seems like kind of like one episode of a podcast broken out over multiple episodes where it's kind of zoomed in on very specific parts of the arguments. It's pretty cool. PPP update / Shake Shack are both trending. Shake Shack gave back $10 million that they got through the PPP, the payroll protection program. So the loophole that we were talking about when we first talked about PPP was that you could apply as a small business even if you're McDonald's, because McDonald's has locations that have fewer than 500 employees, right? Wasn't that the number that you had to get underneath? Was that
something like that?
If
you
were specifically a chain, or if you were specifically a location that had under 500 employees, you could apply. Or like if you were a hotel, I think the example I saw was Hilton, and Shake Shack got shamed for this. Not a good look. And I don't know. The latest on PPP was that like the government announced, they're like, hey, we're out. It's done.
Right.
Everybody drank up the big gulp. It's all gone. Everybody go back to your homes. And now the people are kind of looking at how that money was, how that milkshake got drank up. Am I right? There will be blood
all the way over.
Going way back. Yeah, now that people are looking at it, it seems like we're gonna get some, hopefully a little bit of accountability.
I mean, yeah, especially with a company that's doing like total revenue in fiscal year 2019, $594.5 million is what Shake Shack was generating, and what, somewhere around 20 million or so in profits. When you see sort of things like that and you're like, you look at the places where the hit can happen, it's like, well, yeah, you can absorb this. Other people who have smaller businesses are not dealing in this kind of volume of like revenue or transactions. It's completely different. Yeah. And I think, this is why we keep running into this, especially with this administration and just the way the American government is, but like this is just such a clear case of just the utter lack of accountability, oversight, anything that it's almost like people should be like, hey, can we all agree that maybe $10 million shouldn't go to Shake Shack first and maybe to these other people who were trying to get on the PPP website and they're like, oopsie, out of money. I know they're trying to reauthorize more money for that, but it's just like when you read stuff like this, it just makes you angry.
Yeah. At the same time, I mean, it's tough because if there are Shake Shack employees who they are not going to be able to get a paycheck now, but it does seem like, yeah, Shake Shack should just be able to absorb it, hopefully. I mean, that's sort of a narrow margin, but it's still enough to hopefully pay their employees.
You see, like, you know, I hear and read about a lot of business owners who are not dealing with anything close to this kind of scale for their business, but are doing things like this to be like, whatever, like, I'll self-immolate this business and completely burn it down if it means like eating into all of our anything we have towards the future to like just try and keep everything going. And that's, and I get it, like, at a certain point, is that the most practical thing to do in terms of a business owner? But there are other people who are just sort of like trying to do it within what makes sense. Like, okay, I think we can operate our business at this loss this year or whatever, and long term, no, we'll be able to grow a little bit more in order to, you know, subsidize the survival of our employees. It's nice to see that, but it's also like those are kind of sacrifices. Sometimes you feel like those aren't the people who should be having to make those sacrifices either.
And finally, speaking of sacrifices people are unwilling to make, protest lockdown. People continue to protest around the country against the quarantine, against the social distancing procedures, by getting out, getting in people's faces in some cases, heckling healthcare workers in some cases, just generally indicates a dark path that this whole thing could go down if the president continues to protest against the government, the head of the government continues to protest against the government.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. I mean, again, the details and, you know, evidence and markers of astroturfing are all over a lot of these protests as they happen all over the country in like these really small groups. And it's, again, you know, a lot of these people don't be mistaken. These people don't care because they're trying to save the economy or whatever. They're very narrowly, probably in their minds, even though they don't realize there are billionaires helping to fund this, are saying like, yeah, man, I should be able to do what I want to do. Or maybe I want to put people who are essential workers at risk because typically they're in a different socioeconomic class or different ethnicity. But when you look at the kinds of shit that they're protesting, it's really just the fact that it's like, I want to go back to the movies. I want to go back to the store. Will you go back to work so I don't have to do anything different now? This is fucking boring. Really the protests, I hope, you know, it should be people protesting on behalf of like working people and essential workers and, you know, demanding that we change the way we are living and operating as a country whenever we quote unquote go back to whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when the books are written to see how these protests organically quote unquote came about. I don't know. Smells awfully cokey to me. But we'll see.
Sounds like a lot like plastic grass.
Yeah, a little astroturf maybe. Just had to underline that in case people didn't get your implication. All right,
when
Miles.
I said it up top, very clearly.
All right, that's going to do it for this Monday, this 420. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. Please stay safe, be good to each other, wash your hands, and we'll be back tomorrow with a whole new podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Later.